It occurred to me that not everyone probably knows Jeremy Steckley. So would you stand so everybody will know in a couple of weeks what they're voting for? Well, today we're going to continue in our series that we have entitled 2020 Success. And, of course, we're talking about the Ten Commandments. And we have kind of finished talking about those commandments that relate directly to our relationship with God. And beginning last week, we began to talk a little bit about the relationship with one another. The commands tend to help us with the relationships that we have every day of our life. Last week we talked about managing our anger, and today we're going to talk about how to affair-proof our marriage. Now really what we're talking about today is good for all of us, old and young. Also, if you're not married, a lot of the things that we're talking about can be a help to you in your daily life, in your relationship with people that you encounter. There was an advertisement for an IRA account, and it said, guaranteed interest for life. And I thought, my, that's the kind of slogan that we need for our marriages. But it's just not always true. In fact, how many of you who are here this morning, well, you don't have to tell me, would agree with me, it's a lot easier to get married than it is to stay married. Yeah. When Susan and I got married, she was 19. Had to get the permission of her parents. Why they did that, I don't know. I was 20. I'll tell you what I knew about marriage and what she knew about marriage. Nothing. We had no idea what we were getting into. We had no idea how to stay married. We had no idea what in the world it was all about. The other thing that I've discovered down through the years is that the wedding ceremony doesn't make a marriage. Parents today spend $10,000, $15,000, $20,000 and more on a wedding ceremony. Sometimes it's over before a year has gone by. Wedding ceremonies don't make a marriage. Now, I am convinced that God wants your marriage to be satisfying. So the question is, how do we get that experience in our life? In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 14, it says, "You shall not commit adultery." Proverbs 5:15. "Be faithful to your own wife or husband and give your love to her or him alone." The question that confronts us today as we read those verses is, how do we do that? How do we maintain interest in our mates as we roll along through the years? Or how do we make love last a lifetime? Now, these are questions of reality that we face nearly every day. You see, nothing is automatic in life. Marriage is intentional. Marriage is a commitment. There is nothing automatic about having a faithful marriage. We're not swept along by the same emotions we had perhaps when we got married. So today I'd like for us to just briefly look at five ingredients that we might think about as we think about our marriage or even our relationship with other people. The first ingredient has to do with respect. We just have to be honest and say that real love is built on respect for one another. Look at Ephesians 5:33. "Every husband must love his wife as himself, and every wife must respect her husband." Then look at 1 Peter chapter 3, 7. "Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect." Now, you ought to just go back and circle those words, respect. You see, that's pretty important. In fact, respect is a key to marriage. Sometimes people are more rude to their spouse than they are to anyone else. They can be more rude to their spouse than a friend that they socialize with or people that they work with, strangers. And we just have to ask why. Why? They interrupt them. They don't listen. They ignore each other. They contradict them. The truth is, many times people are just plain rude to their spouse, when all the time what we really need is respect. I heard a story about a young couple that just got married, and when they got to the hotel, the wife said to her new husband, she said, "Honey, when we go into the hotel, let's don't act like we're newlyweds. Let's act like we've been married for a long, long time." And her husband says, "Okay, dear, you carry the suitcases in." Respect. It's really important, isn't it? How do we build respect into our marriage? One way is to not compare. Not compare. We shouldn't compare our spouse with someone else. We shouldn't compare our marriage to another marriage. The truth is, every marriage has its own uniqueness. Every person is unique. And there is no such thing as a perfect marriage. No such thing. We can change marriages, but all we're going to do is change problems. Because there are no perfect marriages. There are no perfect people. You see, anytime you compare, you say to your mate, "Why can't we be more like so-and-so?" That's the path to killing your marriage. I think everyone wakes up one day to the reality that the person you're married to is not Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. They might have bad breath. They might have habits that irritate you all the time. And so you begin to doubt yourself. "Well, I wonder if I married the wrong person. Why didn't I get Mr. or Mrs. Perfect?" Well, here's the truth. There is no Mr. or Mrs. Perfect. What we need to do is to begin to develop respect for each other. Brag on your marriage instead of nag. That builds respect. Someone said, "You bury a marriage with just a lot of little digs." You know, Eve took a rib from Adam, and the ladies have been getting ribbed ever since. Little put-downs. Bad jokes. The truth we need to remember is that respect is really important in the marriage. Learn to look at them, listen to them, value their opinions. A second ingredient we need to have a successful marriage is responsibility. Look at Philippians chapter 2 and verses 4 and 5. "Each of you should look not only to your own interest, but also to the interest of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ." There just isn't any doubt at all, if we could follow that advice, we would be a lot better off. If we would follow that advice, we would have fewer broken relationships in our world. It just seems that the major problem with marriages is often selfishness. Do you know that most counselors say that selfishness is what kills most marriages? Selfishness. I want it my way. No other way is going to do. I want what I want, and I want it right now. Being responsible means a willingness to to carry your share of the load. Doing your part. Being grown up about things. Being responsible is having the attitude of Christ. We should ask all along, would Jesus do this? Would Jesus say this? Would Jesus expect this from my mate? In this crisis or in the conflict, how would Jesus react if he were here? So there needs to be respect and there needs to be responsibility. The third ingredient we need to consider is recreation. I know what you're saying is, are you crazy? What in the world does recreation have to do with affair-proofing our marriage? Well, look at Ecclesiastes 9:9. Enjoy life with the woman or man that you love. You know what they say, and my wife could probably testify, and I have changed and trying to change. All work and no play makes a dull marriage. There might have been times I wasn't even fun to live with. Could be. We accept that phrase without hesitation. Families that pray together stay together. Heard it all my life. Well, as life rolled along, I read another phrase. Families that play together stay together. Families that play together stay together. It takes both praying and playing to stay together. Families that spend a lot of time together are the ones that make it. I've been a slow learner. If you spend a lot of time together, your kids will do better too. Not just husband and wife. I was startled to learn that a Gallup poll did a survey on how much time the husband and wife actually spend together on average. You know what they found? 10 minutes a day in actual conversation with each other. There's a difference between being around someone and being with someone. We need to have times together. Time to play, time to pray, time to plan, a schedule that fits everyone. You know, if the Kansas City Chiefs, who are going to be playing football, well, you probably didn't even know that, did you? You weren't aware of that? Well, in just a little while, they're going to be playing football. But you know, if the Kansas City Chiefs didn't take time to huddle, they wouldn't make it to the Dust Bowl, let alone the Super Bowl. They had to take time to huddle and spend some time together. No matter how much you're praying, you need time together to check everything out. The danger sign in our marriage is when we begin to say to each other, well, maybe we'll do that some other time. How many times have I said that? You don't need to respond. I'm just spilling it all out. I want you to learn from my mistakes, and I've made them. One of the myths they say in marriage is to say, I spend quality time. I heard it. I believe it. I spend quality time with my family, not quantity. That's what he used to say. But today, I think that God not only wants quality, He wants quantity. Maybe more than ever today than any other time. It's quality and quantity. It takes time to become best friends. It only happens by spending a lot of time together. Do you do that? You know who taught my son to play golf? His father-in-law. Just saying. Let me ask you, are you fun to live with? When was the last time you did something totally unplanned? You just did it because you wanted to, and it sounded like fun, so you just dropped everything and you went and did it. I really believe that it's couples who learn to enjoy each other that last. We have to learn that men and women are different, and we often don't like the same things, and so we have to work at that so that we do things together that both of us like. A few years ago, my wife and I went to a pastor and wives retreat in Aurora, Nebraska. Oh, isn't that a great place to go for a retreat? I mean, there's nothing in Aurora. There's nothing that happens in Aurora that's exciting. In fact, the most exciting place that we found was Chuck's. Ice cream and yogurt place. There wasn't anything else I could do but to hang out with Susan. And lo and behold, Susan said to me one day, she said, "You know, I really like spending time with you." Well, that made me feel 10 feet tall. But it reminded me of the need to spend time together. It's important. The reason she said that, I wasn't ever there. Worked all the time. She raised the kids. I was building a church, doing God's work, and life passed me by. I don't want that to happen, especially to the younger folks that are here. Don't let that happen. The fourth ingredient we need to affair-proof our marriage is romance. It probably is true if there was more courting in our marriages, there would be fewer marriages in the court. Proverbs chapter 3 says, "Under three things the earth trembles. Under four it cannot bear up. An unloved woman who is married." Now, really what the scripture here is doing is comparing the woman who is married but unloved to an earthquake. Another way of saying it is, husbands, if our wives feel unloved, we're on shaky ground. Think about that. That's really what the scripture is saying. Now, we might say, "My wife knows I love her, but are you sure? Do you tell her? Do you show it?" I know it's sometimes hard for us men to express that, but it's needed. One time, Eve said to Adam, she said, "Adam, do you love me?" And Adam, being the macho man that he was, looked around and said, "Well, Eve, who else?" You see, we need to say it, show it, romance in the marriage. Another thing to remember along these lines is that God is pro-sex in the bounds of marriage. Who do you think thought this all up? It was God. God blesses it in the framework of marriage. There's actually an entire book of the Bible written on romantic love, Song of Solomon. We would do well to remember God's instructions there. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, don't deny yourself these relationships. Look at Proverbs 5:18. Rejoice in your wife. Let her charms and tender embrace satisfy you. Let her love alone fill you with delight. Romance is important if we want to affair-proof our marriage. We need to create a magnet that draws us back together. Remember, the devil works on your mate just like he works on you. Romance is the magnet that draws us back home together. Well, the final ingredient that we need is resolve. Resolve. That is, have a firm commitment to each other. Far too many people say, I do, but we don't. Look at Malachi 2:15. Has not the Lord made you one in body and spirit? So guard yourself in your spirit. Do not break faith with the wife of your youth. Proverbs 4:23. Above all else, guard your affections, for they influence everything else in life. The question is, how do we guard our affections? First, you need to protect your mind. We live in a society that glorifies romance outside of marriage. You see it on TV. Almost everywhere you go, you can read it in books. There's never any romance in marriage. It's always outside of marriage. And we see that when we begin to think, well, maybe that's the way it's supposed to be. Wrong images. And they never show anyone getting hurt, you know. We need to guard our minds. Be careful what you feed your mind with. Decide what you're going to do with your thoughts. Temptation in and of itself is not sin, but it is when we yield. In your life, you will have normal desires, so the question is, what are you going to do with them? Let's resolve to be faithful to our marriage. Secondly, choose your friends wisely. I think this must especially be true in the places where we work. Most affairs start at work. We get to know each other, and we think they have more in common with us, perhaps, than our wife or our husband. And so resolve is broken down at the workplace. The key is to choose friends who take their own marriage seriously. Now let's review for a minute in closing. Do you have respect for your mate, or do you compare? Do you nag or do you brag? What about responsibility? Are you carrying your share of the load? The Reader's Digest had a story some time ago on making marriages last. It told about a man who had been married for 29 years. And then he experienced midlife crisis, but it wasn't him. It was his wife. He said he had a very simple view of marriage when he started. Here it was. He worked as many hours as he wanted to. When he had time off, he went and played tennis and golf with his friends. His wife wasn't alone. He was always gone. He said Pamela took care of him and the children until 9 years ago. Pamela had an affair. She told him, she said, "I hate your selfishness. I hate your disinterest in me." But he decided to win her back by changing himself. He put Pamela first, not his work. He soon began to enjoy the things that they did together. He learned and he regretted the wasted years. He said, "Now I have my family back. And that change is the one thing that I'm proudest of in life." Are you responsible? Fix the problem, not the blame. Let's fix the problem, not the blame. How about recreation? Do you make time for each other? Do you have time for the kids? Are you working at the romance? Is there any resolve left in your marriage at all? Can you be counted on? Where does it all start? Psalm 127:1. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. It takes three to build a marriage. It takes the husband, it takes the wife, and it takes God. Can I give you a figure? It just came to mind. About 60% of all marriages now end in divorce. But they did a survey, Pew did a survey, of people who went to church. And they discovered that if the people went to church together, read the Bible together, and prayed together, do you know what the divorce rate was? You won't believe this because I've never seen it on the news. 1 out of every 1,105 marriages. Think of it. Just because they went to church together, read the Bible together, and prayed together. It takes three to make a marriage. God created us. He is the glue that holds us together. And He can change our lives. If we've done things wrong, we can change and do things right. He can transform your marriage and even your children. Of course, it always begins with Jesus, doesn't it? Always begins with Christ. An up-to-date relationship with Jesus Christ is the necessity. Not that I said, "Yes, I want to be a Christian. I'm trusting in Christ as my Savior when I was 10 years old, but I haven't been living it for 15 or 20 years." That won't work. Got to keep your relationship with Christ up to date. Make sure your sins are under the blood of Christ. Ask Him to fill you with His Spirit, that you might be at all times the person that God wants and needs you to be. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Well, Lord, let's just confess right at the top. There are no perfect husbands or wives. Our heart may be aimed at you, but sometimes our performance is off track. We're glad for the Bible. We're glad for these verses that tell us that we can ask for forgiveness. We can get back on track. And we can make the most of our marriages from this point on. Young and old, we need your help. Touch every life. Those who are not married, help them to be careful who they're selecting. Those of us who are married, help us to keep the resolve, the commitment. Commitment is over half done. So today, Lord, would you touch the lives of every person who is here today, reminding us how much you love us and how ready you are to help us become all that you intended for us to be. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.